Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A warm, warm welcome. This is episode 171 of Stu's Wrestling Podcast, all the way from the good old UK. And waiting in the wings is a returning guest for a fourth time. It's WWE, WCW legend, wrestling legend, Jacques Rougeau, a.k.a. The Mountie, back on Stu's Wrestling Podcast. Hello, Jacques.
Amazing. You must be running out of guests. How are you doing, Stu?
Never running out of guests, but you give me good bang for my buck when you come on. So I love it. I love our conversations. You know, you've become a friend. So it's just amazing. And you've been very, very busy. I know in January, I would like to speak about the Chris Jericho cruise and how that was, meeting the fans, mixing it with your peers, the guys, obviously, you wrestled with, you worked with years ago. How was the Rock and Wrestling Rager?
You know, that's that cruise is a dream cruise for any wrestling fans, too. You know, I've seen so many people being happy, like, you know, meeting their talent and having autographs, signing them, just taking a drink with them, and then having wrestling on the ship, you know, and under the moonlight, you know, the stars, you know, on the 12th balcony up on top of the ship there, and people just having a great time, and seeing all kinds of talent coming from all kinds of federations, or different federations, and the best talent around the world just show up there. Plus, myself, I had so much fun. I've learned so much on that cruise. I actually met Chris Jericho's father for the first time. I didn't know who he was, and I met him, and I did a little kind of a little show there for the people that night there, and then a little room there with the Bushwhacker Luke. He was with me there, and had a great time with Luke, going over stories that we had, and then of course I had a good conversation a couple of times with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, which, you know, we remembered the good old Wembley match we had,
yes,
the 3-3, and that was fun. We talked about that, and then meeting just seeing Paul White again, the giant Paul White, was amazing. You know, he saw me, he had a line of people in front of him to sign autographs. I was passing by and I just stopped by. I said, "How you doing, Paul?" He says, "Jacques." And then he took me in his arms. He gave me a big hug, you know, get a big hug to my girl. And he was so happy to see us, you know. And so it was just amazing to see all the old friends and talent. But for the wrestling fans, it's like a 4 days on the ocean where it's wrestling. Everything is wrestling.
Amazing. That is something I'd like to do. I'd like to be a part of that and meet all you guys, meet you properly, actually. It is on my list to do. I know he's built it up, Chris Jericho. Here's a still of you and Chris there
And that's funny that you show that picture there, because that picture was taken about 5 minutes before he went on the scene to go sing with his band live. And then it was at night, you know, and what a great conversation we had for about a couple of minutes there real fast. And what a gentleman, Chris Jericho, what a nice guy. And well, he's doing so much. He's done so much, accomplished so much. And I think that cruise is going to go on for years and years to come, because it was sold out by the time we were on the ship, and everybody was asking. It's funny, because a lot of people were telling me, like, well, this is my fourth Chris Jericho cruise now. And I was going, like, really? Like, you know, it's so a lot of people want to come back. They go on it and they become addicts. They just want to come back. So what a great idea for Chris Jericho to put that together. Amazing.
How was it stopping off at the different places on route on the cruise? You know, when you had time away from signings and things of that nature, how was that going to different ports and that?
Yeah, well, we stopped at one port, the Cozumel, and it was really nice. It was you know, if anybody that's been on a cruise before, you know, you stop at a port and then there's like 250 merchants that have all kinds of gift shops of all kinds of costumes and cultures that they sell, and so it's almost like you meet the whole country at the port, you know, and it's amazing. You go from one kiosk to another, and we always buy a gift, and then we were lucky too. It was amazing weather, so you know, it was actually too hot, you know, because we're not used to. I was coming down from the snow over Montreal, so. So when we got there, we were looking for shade, actually, but amazing, amazing. The port's always nice, and even the leisure time we had during the day, you know, going up on deck and putting our towels on our chairs, and then going to dip in the pools and coming back, and always a live band playing, you know, so giving us some good old 80s music or 90s music. So it was awesome. I tell everybody, if you have a chance to do a cruise and you want to talk and see wrestling, Chris Jericho Cruise is the place to be.
Here we are with Bully Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley as well. I found this one. I thought I'd pop this one up for you. How was he? Now, he comes across intimidating to me, because when I was at WrestleCon, he was doing signings with Devon and that. But he looks happy to be with you there.
You know, it's amazing. I think the picture says it all, because you know what happened since I quit watching wrestling in 1987. So a lot of the talent, I don't know. I just don't know. I had my own company, my own school, doing my own thing. So I haven't, because of the problems I had with Vince McMahon over the years, I just never watched wrestling again. I turned the TV off. And so this guy, I didn't know him. So when he came up to me and he just said, he's the one actually who wanted a picture with me. So I said, hey, yeah, for sure. So you could see in his face, yeah, he's very happy. And I'm like, who is this guy here? You know, like, but now I know. But there was another guy too that was amazing too. I took a picture with. He was a midget. He was a midget, but I'm just trying to remember the name of that guy. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah,
Dylan. And he came up to me, same thing. He took a picture. I didn't know who he was. And then finally after that, you know, when I picture went around and stuff, they said, no, he's famous, Jacques. He's really famous. You know, and this, I said, oh, really? So it's nice to see that the younger talent that came up to me. And I met a guy called Matt Cordona.
Yes.
Matt Cordona. Matt, I think, Cordona, his name was.
He was that rider in WWE, former Intercontinental.
And he's doing a lot of indies and stuff like that. He was very nice too to me. He came up. It's so funny because all these guys are coming up to me and they says, "Oh, you know, can I have a picture? You know, you always been my idol when I was young, and this and that." And I'm looking at them like, it used to be me that said those lines, you know, like I used to go see the rest and say, hey, can I have a picture with you? And now it's funny to see all the talent coming up to me and wanting to take a picture with me. So it's very it's good for my self-esteem and all that. But a lot of great personalities, a lot of great talent. I met a girl that was wonderful too there, Giselle Shaw.
Yes. You know, yes, she, I know of her. Yeah.
She was just so awesome. Like, you know, she was like, really nice to my girlfriend and to me, and she's friends on Facebook with my girlfriend, and we all know what's happening with my girlfriend there with her situation and with the chemo and stuff. But Giselle came up to, and she took my girlfriend in her arms and gave her the biggest hug, and same thing. Hacksaw did the same thing. Like, they're my Facebook friends, so my girlfriend was like a superstar there on the ship there, because she made it, because physically it was pretty hard for her to do that, but we did it. But Giselle was so nice, and then I was surprised because she turned around and she took me and gave me a big hug, like, you know. And then I looked at my girlfriend's eyes like, are you jealous? No. And then anyway, but anyway, that was like but she was so nice. Giselle was so nice, it was fun. It was really fun.
She's been booked over here for the big promotions over here. She has progress, which is huge. So yeah, she's a big star, that girl. It's amazing.
Really? Amazing. I'm happy for her.
She's well known. She is well known. I will give her that. Absolutely. Just amazing. And nice for you and Natalie to go on the ship together and do that as well.
Well, you know, it was like a break from chemo, because she's been doing chemo now for 6 months, and she had like a month break between the two quarters, because there's different chemo she's taking, and she was taking some weekly for 3 months, and then the next batch was like every 3 weeks. So she has a chance to, and what happened is, when she takes her first, the first quarter she took there like weekly, well, after her chemo, the day of her chemo, she would be 2 days, like she'd be out. She'd be like really tired and she barely could move. And then the next 5 days, she would regain, you know, like her strength. But that was like every week. And then she'd do a chemo the next week. She'd die for 2 days, come alive for 5 days. And it was like that. And then, but when she had that month break, it's the time that that 3 weeks had been passed by, 2 weeks and a half. So when she got on the ship, she had full white globals. Like, you know, she was strong. Like, you know, she had so it was a good time. And so now she's taking the chemo every 3 weeks. So it's a little different. It's a much stronger chemo this time. And so when she takes the chemo, she's like 11 days. She's on her butt. Like 11 days. And then for 10 days, she comes back alive. And then 11 days, she dies down. 10 days, she comes back. So it's a, but she's winning her battle. The just to let everybody know, it's so awesome, because the big mass that she had in her breast, big like a baseball, it's all gone. It's all disappeared. So it's like now she's going to finish her last chemo on April 9th. And then after that, she's going to have her breast taken out with her, probably her ovaries, because the kind of chemo she has, it's the only place that it could come back to. Right. It's in the other breast or in the ovary. So we're going to have that taken out. And Lord knows, we may be winners of this battle of cancer. So by the beginning of June, she should be top shape and working out and getting tanned, and her hair is going to grow back. And it's going to be history of this battle.
I'm sending my best as well, as I have done.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know how, you know, you two together are amazing. So yeah, just the best, all the best to hear from the UK, as I always say to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Now, you've been doing other signings as well. You've been busy, busy. I know you love meeting the fans. I've got some good images, actually. So yeah, I should pump them in for you. So here you are, signing books and all sorts of stuff, memorabilia.
Those signings, Stuart, are so fun, because, you know, you're sitting there and you have thousands of people that come up to you, and then Comic-Cons and signings, and they bring back your whole career. It's like, you know, and many times they bring back things that I've never seen. Like, you know, that was sold in stores or something. And then many times they put it in front of me, and then I look at them, wow, can I keep this? You know, and sometimes they got two, and they do. They say, hey, yeah, you can keep this. I got two. And so it's amazing. Everybody brings different things. Belts. This is the Chris Jericho you've seen there. Mm-hmm. The, you know, it's different things, but that's not at the Chris Jericho cruise. That's at a Comic-Con where someone was on a cruise. Wow. With me and Chris Jericho, and came back to see me and said to me, says, hey, Jacques, we were together on the cruise, remember? And I did remember the guy, because we spoke. So it's amazing. Comic-Cons are really, really fun, and signing like that. I'm going to a couple of big ones now, like on April 5th and 6th in Philadelphia. I think it's called WrestleCon. I'm going to there, and then it's a huge one. It's like huge. It's like there must be 200 wrestlers of today and yesterday. And my God, I just came one from Ohio about a couple of weeks ago. I was with Kurt Angle. I was with Jimmy Hart, Honky Tonk Man. I was with Steve Kern. I was with Mike. The list goes on and on, the guys that were there. And so it's always fun also that there's Honky Tonk. That was in Ohio a couple of weeks ago. It's always fun to meet up with the guys that we sat for 25 days a month in the dressing room every night, just sharing our stories and going to Coco Beware. Jesus Christ, what a great, great conversation we had, me and him. Mm-hmm. We talked about the time I zapped him with my shock stick by mistake. And and he laughs about it today, but I'll tell you, we always get a good laugh out of that. He always says, "You did it on purpose, Eddie. You did it on purpose." I said, no, I didn't, Coco. I didn't do it on purpose, I promise. But great guy, Coco. But yeah, Jimmy, awesome Jimmy Hart. I love Jimmy. He looks like he's 45 years old. He's 80. So, you know, it's amazing. He's been amazing.
It's so good. Do you know what, Jock? Just going back to WrestleCon, I went for many, many years when I went to WrestleMania over the years. You are correct. That is massive now. It was big. It was big when it started. But it's just crazy how big that has got.
I can't wait to go meet a couple. I'm going to go grab a few pictures there with Ronda Rousey, and I'm going to go get a couple of pictures with coming to WrestleCon. I want to go see, get a picture with Sting. There's a couple that I got. There's also Trish, what's her name?
Trish Stratus.
Yeah, Trish Stratus. My girlfriend made me a list of people that she wants me to go take a few pictures with. Amazing. But so that's fun, you know. My girlfriend, she knows the wrestlers more than I do. Yeah, I met him, Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was fun. He was really nice to me. And so it's nice to it's funny because that's my life, eh? You know, wrestling's my life. So it's either people I knew or people that know me that I didn't know, and they look up to me today. And it's like, so it's always fun to go to signings. Always fun.
When are you traveling to Philadelphia? When are you getting into town?
I'm going to fly in on the Friday. I'm going to fly into Newark, New York. And then it's only like an hour and a half to Philadelphia. So it's an easy flight for me in and out. And so I'm going to spend a couple of days in Philly. And so it's going to be nice. I got a breakfast there. I'm doing the Comic-Con from like 9 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. So it's like 5 hours of signing. But at 8 o'clock in the morning, the promoter of the place asked me to do a breakfast with them from 8 to 9 because he's got a lot of celebrities and a lot of special guests there, like special kids, special people. So I said, yeah, I'll do it, no problem. So he asked me to do that. So it's going to be fun. I always have a...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
A soft spot for special kids like autistic and stuff. Absolutely. Like that, because they're so genuine, they're so honest. There's like, it's black or white, there's no gray zone. It's like, I like you or I don't, you know. And it's like so it's fun to deal with people like that, because I feel a little bit in a way that I'm kind of like that too. So I don't have a gray zone, you know. I've missed a little bit of diplomacy in my life. I've always said what I spoke, my mind thought, and sometimes it's not always good to do that. But anyway, so when I get with autistic people, I really communicate. I hit it right on the nose there with them. Like, you know, and it's funny because I have so much fun with them, because contrary to most of the people, when I meet those special kids, I don't treat them like special kids. Like, you know, when I'm with them, I treat them like normal people. Like, you know, sometimes I'll just go ahead and I'll put my finger under his chin like this, and I'll goose up his face like that, you know, or I'll put a wrestling hold on him, or, you know, I'll do something, you know. I'll treat him like, you know, I'm going to treat him like he was a normal kid. Like, you know, instead of giving him that special attention. And they love it. They just love it to be treated like they're normal. You know, and so I play jokes with them. I even laugh at them. You know, I make fun of them. You know, and the parents love it too. It's because they see that the kid the kid is really feeling like, hey, for 2 minutes there, I'm having a normal life here. Like, you know, I'm treated like a normal person. So I really connect with those kind of people. And I'm looking forward to that at WrestleCon in the morning, that breakfast.
Fantastic. Giving back to the fans. I know how much you love the fans, Jacques. So, yeah, I wish I was going to Philadelphia.
There's a lot of people you'd like to see there.
I would be spending thousands because I'd have to pay the promoter.
No, you'd get me for free. But you know what the thing is, too? I got to be honest with you. That's the luxury I have. You know, I come up to them in their booth, you know, and I don't pay for them. I just come up to see them. And most of them say, hey, how you doing, Jock? Or how you doing, Mr. Mounty? So and then I say, can I get a picture real fast? So I don't pay the money. I get it for free.
funnily enough, saying about Philly and people going into town, my friends from the UK that I've been to WrestleManias with were dotted about the UK. Anthony, and I've just made it. Sorry, I missed the start. Just got back from work. Love it when you have Jacques on your show. And he's going to be in Philadelphia. So, Ant, you need to go to WrestleCon because Jacques is at WrestleCon.
Yeah. He needs to come and see me and say, hey, I'm Stu's friend.
Absolutely. They're huge fans of pro wrestling. They really are. Moving on, Lute Academy is going to be coming up towards September. That begins the 2024 tournament. So I'd love to hear about that and just how well Lute Academy Wrestling Academy has been for you, for the guys, for the wrestlers of Canada.
This has been amazing. This experience, this competition we started 3 years ago. Yes, it's starting in the fall this year, contrary to the spring usually. We're moving up to the fall because we moved to a different venue. We moved to Leonardo da Vinci Center, which is like a high-class place. Like instead of having folding chairs that you put together there and real fast, like in a bar there, we moved up to a place where Bocelli could go and sing, or, you know, Celine Dion could go and sing. It's like a first-class Italian place where it's amazing, the seating. Plus we moved from like 300 and some seatings to 500 and some seatings, and they're all cushioned seats. It's really first class. And this year the competition is so amazing because, you know, it's like from year to year, the word came out, Stu. Like, you know, a couple of years ago when there was the big prizes that were supposed to be given to indie wrestlers, well, a lot of the indie wrestlers doubted it. Like, you know, like, yeah, is he going to give $20,000 really in prizes and he's really going to pay everybody? And then are we really going to go spend 3 months at the Nightmare Factory with Cody Rhodes and QT Marshall, Billy Gunn? So the last 2 years, it's been so credible for us. We build our credibility. Everybody got their gifts. They went to wrestle on AEW Dark Matches or Dynamite and Rampage when they came to Canada. So everything I proposed to them, it happened. So this year when we had the inscriptions, it was just amazing. All the big, big top talent from Canada, the non-believers, everybody, they all joined in. So the talent this year is like, my God, the caliber is so strong. We had like 71 inscriptions, and it's like I had to only choose 34 of them. And it was like 20 men and 14 women. And it was so hard when you're coming down to the last picks because there's so many guys that we didn't pick that we could have picked. That there was so much talent, but the prizes this year is amazing. Like, you know, the first year we had $4,000-$5,000 winners. The second year we had $3,000-$10,000 winners. And this year we have $4,000-$10,000 winners, two men and two women. And then we're also going, instead of going to QT Marshall's wrestling school this year, we're making it different. We're bringing something, a new tool to the toolbox. We're sending them to Mexico. And wow. You know they're gonna go to Bandido's gym and to Big Lucha, and these guys are so nice and they're gonna stay there. They're gonna take care of them when my winners go there. They're gonna go spend some time down there and wrestle and work out at the gym, but wrestle at the Mexico Arena. And you gotta keep in mind there that why this means so much to me, and they don't understand yet my talent, but they will. That when I started my career in '77. In 1978, I went to wrestle in Mexico, and I spent a couple of months there. And when I came back, I was doing backflips. I was doing so much acrobatic things that I wasn't doing at home, working weekly at the same venue all the time in Quebec. So when I came back, I had a bunch of new moves. And you know, that really made me outstanding compared to the other talent. That brought me out of the loft. And so, plus, when you go to wrestle in Mexico, there's so many things you got to take in consideration. If you're sitting in the dressing room without a mask on, you're probably the only one because they all have masks. Everybody, like, you know, in the States and in Canada, if you have a guy sitting with a mask in the dressing room, he's a gimmick, you know, but if you're in Mexico and you don't have a mask, you're a gimmick, you know, because everybody has masks. And the other thing too, that they're going to learn is, like, in Mexico, we have a code that you always work with. Example, the left arm. We always work on the left arm in my old school days. You know, we were brought up but in Mexico, they work with the right arm and the left arm and the right arm. They work with both arms. So it's a complete different ball game. You got to adjust real fast. Another thing too is when you're doing tag matches over there, I learned really fast. I didn't know. I got to tell you, I got to take that back. The boss wanted me to learn fast, but I didn't, because when you're in a tag match, I was always brought up, and I was did a lot of tag matches in my young age and through my career, is when your opponent wants you to come in the ring, he's got to give you a tag. And then we go in the ring off of a tag. But in Mexico, they don't tag. So in other words, they do their high spot in the ring, boom, 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 the guys roll out of the ring, and next thing you know, is I was in 1978, I'm by the ring waiting for my partner to come tag me, and the boss was screaming from the back of the arena, andale, andale, like, get in the ring, you know, there's no tags here, like, and I was waiting for the tag, you know. So there's a lot of different things that they're going to go and learn. Plus, another thing that's really, really good for them is they're going to be really high in altitude, a little bit like Salt Lake City, a little bit like in the States, where they're very, very high. So your breathing, your cardio is going to get a lot better when you work in those places. So that's going to work a lot for them too. Working on a couple of other things too for the Wrestling Academy winners this year. I can't pronounce myself yet, Stu, but I'm a couple of more gifts that are fixing to come in that are amazing. So this is going to be a great, great, great year. Plus another thing, Stu, that I got to bring to your attention. What a great time my brother Raymond had last year. You know, my brother Raymond came in as a special judge one night. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, I asked him for the last show, you want to be a commentary with me, you know, for the last show? And he said, sure, I'll do it. So, because he liked it so much. And this year, my brother Raymond's going to be a judge with myself and Gino Brito. Gino Brito is an old wrestler from Quebec, but he's an icon. So we're going to be the three judges for this year's competition at Leonardo da Vinci. So Gino Brito, living a couple of miles from there, being an Italian, so he's in his Italian home there. You know, we're in an Italian neighborhood in Leonardo da Vinci place. So it's going to be great to have the young wrestlers are going to be judged by three people who know the business, like, you know, Raymond, myself, and Gino. So we're going to have a great time picking out the winners this year. It's going to be very hard. I feel like right now, you know, I look at my website. If you go on wrestling-academy.ca or lutteacademie.ca, if you could put the links at the bottom there eventually, put the links on there so people could go on the website. You could go click on every picture of the participants, male and female, and you'll see a video of them. And you'll be able to go see that the talent is just amazing. And I sat down with my girlfriend the other day, and I told my girlfriend, I said, wow, I said, there's only four winners. There's only two men and two women. But I know at least of eight men that could win this competition. Mm-hmm. That I could bet on. There's eight of them. Out of the 20, there's eight that I could bet on. Like, you know, so who knows how Gino's gonna vote, how my brother Raymond's gonna vote. And you're only gonna be as good as your last performance. In other words, you could have a guy that's a favorite coming in the show, and you could have an underdog that comes in the show. But if that night the underdog shines better than the favorite, the underdog goes on to the semifinals, and he keeps going. So you're only as good as your last performance. When you finish your match, you stand in the ring, and then you look at the judges, and then you wait to be undressed with all the compliments and the negative, and then boom, and you're going on or you're going home, one or the other. But what an amazing competition this has turned out to be.
I've got a special video here from, well, WWE Hall of Famer. So I'm just going to pump it in. It's 10 seconds long. I'm going to put it on.
Great.
Olympic gold medalists. And I want to wish the best of luck to all the participants in Jacques Rougeau's Wrestling Academy in Canada. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Yeah, he was nice. He was so nice to do that, and it's amazing. You know, I didn't expect that from him, and so a lot of now it's funny because all the wrestlers across the world, they're aware of this competition. And like I said, if you go on the website, wrestling-academy.ca, and you could find all the videos of the old timers, you know, that put in a nice video in there. There's so many, you know, thinking of Chris Jericho, of Bret, Undertaker, Ric Flair, goes on, and Demolition, and go on. You could name a name, and they're there. And they all put in a good word for Wrestling Academy. So everybody around the globe right now knows that this is the biggest competition around the whole globe. There's no one. It's going to cost us with airfares. It's going to cost us with hotels and with prizes. Nearly $100,000 that we're getting sponsors for to put all this together. So this is a unique contest, and we're very proud, my girlfriend and I, to have put this together.
You've worked so hard. It's gone from strength to strength year on year, which is amazing. And I just know how many hours, how much passion you put into this, and you're helping young Canadian talent to get, you know, to the tippy top, to work in the best place.
And much more than that, Stu, like, you know, even for those who don't make it to the end of the top or something, the visibility they get, you know, for over a year of this competition, plus there's so many promoters, independent promoters that didn't know all the talent from East Coast to West Coast, and now most of the talent are being called in and booked across Canada because they get to be known for which they're. So what visibility they get, it's amazing for them. And so this contest has proven to be a great trampoline for young talent across Canada. I'm proud and that I'm giving back to the business that made me so happy all my life.
Amazing. Hey, Jacques, do you know what? An old match came up, and it was with you in Memphis. Very early on. I was going through YouTube, as you do, you know, you're scrolling and stuff. It was you like very early on, I would say.
You got a clip of that, or you?
I can't pump it in, but I'll have to send it to you.
I saw a clip not long ago. Someone sent me a clip where Coco Beware was Sweet Brown Sugar and with Bobby Eaton.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And wow. Jimmy Hart was their manager. And I was coming in, you know, in the territory in Memphis. And they finally, you know, we had a feud, me and Bobby Eaton. I was dressed up in clothes, in street clothes, and end up in the ring. But Jesus, I looked so good. You know, I was like 20, I don't know, maybe I was like 23 years old, 22 years old. I had all my hair, you know, and I was like a fireball, you know. And it was so funny because I didn't even know I was going to be teaming up with him later on in the WWF. And then Coco Beware wasn't even Coco Beware. He was Sweet Brown Sugar. And to see all those guys, you know, and then to see him back in that young age, you know, because I started in 1977. So it's amazing sometimes to see the clips. I saw a clip the other day of me and Ole Anderson.
Wow.
Who passed away.
Yeah.
And Jesus, I couldn't believe it. That was in 1978 also. I couldn't believe it. I loved Ole for what he did for me. He took care of me in Atlanta for over a year and a half. He was a booker there, and he really took care of me. And another sad thought that comes to my mind is Virgil. Because Virgil was the nicest person on the planet. He was like an Owen Hart. He was like a Tito Santana. He was, you know, those guys are just so few in between, far in between. And Virgil, always the nicest guy. I remember a match I had with him in the UK, where I was with my shock stick, and it's funny because I had a match where politically correct, you can't do that anymore today, but at the time I had him selling in the middle of the ring. I had him beat up, and then I went and got a rag, and I threw a rag on my shoes, and I told him, I said, shine my shoes. You couldn't do that anymore today.
No, no.
You know, but it was, but Virgil, when I suggested that to him, he says, sure, brother, sure, brother. You know, Virgil was just the sweetest man alive, and I was so saddened by his departure a couple of months ago, or a month ago, or so God bless his friends and family and fans.
Going to WrestleCon over the years, he was always there. When I was at WrestleCon, he was always there. He'd be with Ted. He would be with Ted. And do you know what? Underrated as a talent, actually. Underrated.
And I want to send a shout out to Chris Jericho, who paid for his funeral.
Yes.
You know, Chris Jericho gave $5,000 for his funeral. And, you know, that's I know of a couple of other people that could have done that. But anyway, long story short is it's nice that Chris Jericho reached out like that and did that. That really touched me also, to show me what kind of guy Chris Jericho is.
He's done it. He's done that many a time when there's been people passing away. He's
just a great person.
He's always donated. Like, it's brilliant.
And Stu, I want to tell you something. In the next 2-3 months, there's something amazing happening for me. Amazing, and I can't tell you right now.
Oh.
So make sure that in 3 months from now you touch back base with me.
I will.
Beginning of June, you will not believe what's happening to me. You will not believe it. It's absolutely amazing. So I always like to tell you stuff like that, so you always get me back on your podcast. So in June, come call me back and wait till you see the news. I think you'll be very, very happy for me. I think because I know you like me a lot.
I think the world of you. You know that.
You'll be very happy to see what's going to happen to Jacques Rougeau. Yeah, you'll be happy.
It's in there now. I'll remember. Okay.
Good.
My friend Ant, again, I hope to get the time while he's in Philly. Got a lot on while we're in Philly doing the Rocky tour, etc. What day is Jacques on at WrestleCon?
Saturday from 9 to 2.
Perfect. There you go,
Ant. Saturday from 9 to 2. So tell him to come and see me. What's his name again?
Ant Williams. Anthony.
Okay, Anthony Williams. Okay, and just he needs to introduce himself as Stu's friend.
Perfect.
Stu's friend, yeah, and I'll remember him.
We've got a question from Spain here from YouTube. I know the answer to this. Matthew Rodriguez there in Spain. So we've got a Spanish viewer listener today. Question: have you ever appeared on Dark Side of the Ring? I know the answer to this.
A couple of times, I sure did. And yes, I sure did. I did with the Dino Bravo story, and I also did, of course, with the Dynamite Kid story, and it was with the situation of the bullying and stuff like that. So yeah, I did. And then the people that work for Dark Side of the Ring come from Toronto, Canada, and they're absolutely amazing people. I actually met the guy not long ago. I went to an autograph signing for Special Kids in Need. It was a special autograph signing in Toronto. And he was there from Dark Side of the Ring, the guy. And it was so funny. He came up to me and he says, hi, Jacques. I says, how you doing? He says, you don't recognize me. I says, well, not really. He says, well, I understand, because when we talked, I went to film your segment in Montreal. It was about Dynamite Kid and the way when you did your thing. And you were so nervous when you did that interview. So he says, I know. I understand you don't remember me, but he says, I'm the producer of Dark Side of the Ring. And I said, wow. You know what? I shook his hand. I said, hey, I want to thank you so much for telling my side of the story. You know, it means a lot to me, because there was a lot of backroom stories that were wrong, and they weren't the truth. And so he gave me the chance to speak out and set the record straight. So that guy, you know, I'll always respect for the rest of my days, the guy of Dark Side of the Ring, because he cleaned up my image for those who were told stories by hearsays and by things that were not really the case. So I really appreciate the Dark Side of the Ring and the owner, for sure.
He extends off that. Matthew Rodriguez again, our friend from Spain. Question: what will you say if WWE do an A&E biography, WWE Legends review, Jacques, or a WWE Hall of Fame induction, what will you say?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say what took you so long, you know? I'm going to be honest with you. The Rougeau name should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. Even Rick Martel, you know, there's some guys that need to be in the Hall of Fame. And so I'm definitely a yes man there, you know. And now that Vince McMahon is out of the picture, you know, I think that it's going to be awesome for a lot of people that will be able to reconnect, because, you know, not everybody got along with Vince McMahon, you know, so him being out of the picture now, I think that maybe there's more opportunities for other people to, when it was on a personal issue, why they weren't in the Hall of Fame. Now it may be, now if I'm not in the Hall of Fame, it's because I don't deserve it. And it's not because the person doesn't like me.
Again, Matthew Rodriguez just extending off this Hall of Fame talk. So if you go to the WWE Hall of Fame, who do you want to induct you?
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hart, for sure. Jimmy Hart. I was there as the Mountie, and with Jimmy Hart in my corner. I was there as a fabulous Rougeau Brothers with Jimmy Hart in my corner, and he was the greatest manager of all times. I've always said it, the greatest man to manage someone in and out of the ring, so professional, on time. He didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't do drugs. He was the most professional guy I've never met. He was always even there, pushing you in the back, giving you ideas, making songs for you, dressing you up, getting some suits made at your image. He was the best manager of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
Amazing, amazing. I tell you what, you know, on that celebrity wing of that Hall of Fame, somebody said, why Cyndi Lauper not in there?
And, you know, I'm not too familiar with the celebrity Hall of Fame. To be honest with you, I'm not going to say that I'm for it or against it.
No.
If I speak the truth, if I really speak the truth, because I said there's no gray zone with me, I think they should spend more time putting guys in the wrestling business that deserve to be there. I'm very happy that Muhammad Ali was there this year. I loved him as a boxer, but he has no business in the Hall of Fame. No. And there's some other people that are inducted there that are great people. And well-deserving Hall of Famers in their own discipline, but there's so many wrestlers that need to be put in there. Like, even thinking of Demolition, thinking of some guys that they gave their heart and soul to the business that are not inducted yet. The Nasty Boys, oh, you know, like them or not, you know. Yeah. They entertained. I worked with them for so many years. We were there to make the crowd go nuts for 20 minutes every night, you know. So there's a lot of guys that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So instead of spending time inducting celebrities and other disciplined people to put in the Hall of Fame, they should put more wrestlers that are well deserving of it.
I'm with you on that as a fan. You know my thoughts on the talent that haven't gone in. I could speak for ages about who's not in there, who should be in there. Tony Garea should be in there. I had him on recently.
I agree.
Look what him and Martel did together, you know, early on.
I agree 100%.
It's crazy, but Hogan wanted you in it. Hulk has said the Rougeaus have to be in it.
Well, you know, if you have a guy like Hulk Hogan well, you know, Hulk, you know, he looked at it in a different perspective. He looked at it that every time that we went into the ring, we gained the people. Like, we had the people on their feet, whether we were the Rougeau brothers against the Hart Foundations that were heels, or we were the Hart Foundation that were baby faces and the fabulous Rougeau brother were heels, or whether it was the Mountie against someone. We always got the people on their feet at every match, like, and going and against the Rockers. How many matches Raymond and I went against the Rockers? We were in marathon matches for an hour. And, you know, and every time that Hulk was on the card, he always told us, and many times, I'm not embarrassed to say that we were the first match of the evening. It happened like that. And Hulk always said, you know, I love it when I'll never forget that quote. He says, I love it when the Rougeaus are on first, because when the Rougeaus are on first, you start to crowd up like this. And he says, when you have a great match to start an evening, the rest of the match just falls right with it. Mm-hmm. When you have a bad match at the first match mm-hmm. of the evening, it's hard to get the people back into it. It takes mm-hmm. 2-3 matches. So Hulk always gave us credit of being great and hard workers. And that's why he thought that we deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I'm going to go further than that. I'm going to think of guys like Steve Lombardi. Steve Lombardi, he was a jobber. He was a guy to make everybody else look good. But you know what? You can't look good without him. Nope. You know, it's like it takes two to dance. And Steve Lombardi was a great entertainer. You know, and there's so many others. Barry Orwitz, there's so many others.
Brett is literally...
Bobby Fulton. There's a bunch of other wrestlers. Paul Roma. Paul Roma, and there's so many guys that went in there and did the conquistadors. You know, they went in there and they made other talent look good. And you know, but the talent wouldn't have looked good without them. Mm. You know, so I think that they should, instead of inducting some Hall of Famers from different disciplines, they should have a jobber Hall of Fame. You know, a guy who made the guys look good Hall of Fame. Like, you know, the guys that build the other talent, you know, and so they should, you know, I always say that in the many stories that I say, that you could have the most beautiful house on the mountain, top of the mountain, the most beautiful house that overlooks everything. But if that house doesn't have a good foundation underneath it, it's going to fall. And so wrestling has a foundation. And I think that we're part of it, the Rougeau family, and there's many others that are part of that, and I think they should recognize that.
Brett said about Barry Horowitz, he's been very vocal about it. Why is he not in there? Then he said he doesn't like Goldberg, does he, for obvious reasons. Barry Horowitz should be in there, not Goldberg. He's reiterating what you're saying.
We need the extras. You need the extras. You need to have and if worse comes to worse, if they don't want to put us in the real Hall of Fame, and they could put us, the Rougeaus, in the extras. But we need to be in that Hall of Fame for sure. And you know, and by the way, just to let you know, there's a museum that just came into Quebec City right now, you know, in the province of Quebec, a big, big museum. And it's called the Musée de la Civilisation, Civilization Museum. And then it's all the wrestlers from Yvon Robert to Edouard Carpentier to my uncle Johnny to me and Raymond and to Rick Martel and to all the wrestlers that did part of the Quebec history, and that they're in that museum. So if ever you come to Quebec, make sure you go check out the wrestling museum. You're gonna be very, very impressed by that museum. It's a big talk of the town right now in Quebec.
Still need to come to Canada. I still need to come. I've not been as yet, but it's on my list. It is on my list. Jock, Matthew Rodriguez again. He's got some good questions here. I have two last questions. What if Triple H says, I will let you do something with the shock stick at WrestleMania? If they come to Canada as a one-off backstage, who do you want to hit with the stick?
Kevin Owens.
Right. No, I've met Kevin Owens a couple of times. I can see that. There's your answer, Matthew. Chuck will always say it from the heart, and he always say what he's thinking. Yeah, there you go. Kevin Owens is getting shocked. That is happening. Also, coming away from wrestling a little bit, you have been involved with my friend Harvey Klein.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the new network with TKN, I met Harvey through COVID doing stuff with the podcast and stuff. So I've known Harvey for a long, long time.
Really?
Amazing. I was so overjoyed when he started
having you on there. Honestly, I thought it was brilliant.
What an amazing thing. I mean, everybody should be watching TKN, not wrestling fans. I mean, everybody on the planet should be watching this, the green room of TKN, because it's like... It's like it's a contest where you're going to win, I think, $13,000, go to Greece, a big trip. But that has nothing to do with it. Watch this show because, for me, I'm a big mark. I had a chance to watch Lou Ferrigno, Nancy Kerrigan. You go on, and Hall of Famers and NBA Hall of Famers and football heroes that I used to watch when I was younger. Guy Hasselhoff, the guy with the car there that had the show there. What was his name? David Hasselhoff or something like that. What was the name of that show there? He had the car.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. And there's all kinds. Sugar Ray Leonard's going to be on that show. So here's the thing. You take all these celebrities that you used to watch when you were growing up, and now they're coming on this show, and you're meeting them as real human beings instead of them being in character and stuff. And you get to see how great people they are. And they're all competing, you know. And I was on this thing about 4 or 5 months ago as a contestant, and I was lucky enough to go to the second round. So I'm going to be in the second round. They chose me. But the funniest thing is since then, they have called me twice to be a judge. So you know, I was a judge on this show 2 times, and wow, you know, you listen to their stories, and then they all come in front of you, and they're all waiting for me to judge to see who's going to pass on to the next round, and I'm saying to myself, who am I to be there to judge? Like, you know, these guys are my heroes, you know, since I was young. So what an amazing show. Every Saturday night, if you have a chance, go live in the green room and go check Avi Klein. He's the man. He is the man. He should have been a wrestling manager. I'll tell you what. He's got the gift of the gab. I've never been introduced into a podcast or anything as amazingly as he does. If you have a chance, go check that out, the green room on every Saturday night, and see your heroes from your youth become normal human beings who share their passion and their gift and their joy of life. And it's just an amazing show. Thanks for bringing that up, Stu.
I've got a lot of time for him. I've got a lot of time for him. He was on this show in 2020, and we've stayed in contact ever since. He's been very complimentary about this show. You know me, I'm very, there's humility with me, but it's nice to hear off a guy like him, as good as he is, complimenting what I've been doing. And that's the type of guy Harvey Klein is.
He's amazing. He's accomplished some. He's doing the same thing as I'm doing with Wrestling Academy. He's doing it with superstars around the world. He's getting people together, and the superstars that are getting to spend a couple of hours together listening to each other's stories, there's always, at the end of the show, there's always a bind between the guests that they make new friends. What he's doing is accomplishing is something amazing, Abby.
Amazing. And Howard as well, who's been involved with it. He's been with Harvey, Howard Collado, doing it as well.
There's also Mindy that works for them too. I think she works for them because she's everywhere. She was a judge with me one night, and what a nice person Mindy is, you know, like so. Yeah, check out the show, guys. I'm telling you, you're gonna see some heroes that you used to see when you were young, and you're gonna see them in a different perspective, which is absolutely amazing.
The new network, the green room, the tournament, everything about it, it is like the people from yesteryear, film, TV, sport, pop culture, you name it, they're on there. Him and his team have done a fantastic job with that, building it up from what it was to what it is now.
There's a lot of wrestlers on there too. Like, you know, out of the I think there's at least 100 guests there, and I think there must be at least 15 wrestlers. I know the Nasty Boys are there. Ted DiBiase's there. Demolition's on there. I remember seeing one of the Killer Bees on there. Who else was on there? Tugboat. Tugboat. What a good friend of mine. I love Tugboat, man. Tugboat is awesome. He does even promos for them. Like, you know, some entries of the show sometimes. Tugboat is a great. Fred Ottman is a great, great man. Who else was on there? Anyway, go check it out. You'll see a bunch of wrestlers that you've seen before. Yeah, yeah.
Jacques, I've just question another question here. I think it is. I'll read it out. If WWE has a WWE Hall of Fame for worst gimmick inductee, here are the first three inductees. This is his opinion. He's got the gobbledygooker at number one. He's got Giant Gonzalez. He's got Damian Demento and Bastion Booger as his ones to go in as the worst gimmick. But I mean, those guys are all in the business. I don't look at it like that.
I'm not going to go for that in that question. I think it's out of line because I think it's out of line because it always depends on the eye of the watcher. Because and I don't think there's a I'm in a position to judge anybody that's worse. That's worse. I can't go for that question. I'm sorry.
Gonzalez, I've got to be fair. He did what he had to do because I was scared of him when he was going up against Undertaker. So you know, I wouldn't.
I wasn't following then. I wasn't following wrestling then, so I don't. I can't tell you, to be honest with you.
We've got a better question here from Matthew. It's a bit more tasteful. Question to end with a funny question, and we've spoke about this when you've been on previously. The vignette showing the arse of the horse and the jail vignette at SummerSlam 1991. Did you break character? Was there bloopers behind the scenes? Matthew asks. That's a better question, Matthew. That's a better question.
I'll tell you, that vignette there with the horse's ass is gonna always stay. You know, it's funny because I use it all the time. It's so funny. I did a show a couple of weeks ago. I was in Ohio, a wrestling show where I was a manager, and I was managing what was his name? James Wonderful. I think his name was Mr. Wonderful. Anyway, so I was managing him, and I took the microphone at the and it was called Chili Coffee, Ohio, Chili Coat, Ohio, but I called it Chili Coffee, Ohio. It was so hard to say. So I took the microphone, and the first thing I said, well, you know what? It sure wasn't easy to get here to Chili Coffee. I got to tell you, because it's a small town in Ohio, and I says, but I said I was lucky enough to be beside one of my Mountie friends in Montreal. He was on his horse. And then when I asked him, where was Chili Coffee from? And then I said, well, he got off his horse. And then he took the head of the horse. He put it up and he said, you see, Jacques? He says, this part of the horse always points to Canada. Oh. And then he went in the back and I said, he lifted the tail of the horse. You could see the big donut of the ass. And then he says, this part always points to Chili Coffee. You know, and you should have seen the response of the people. They were so mad. And I just have a great time with that story. It's amazing. And no, I never, when I did the vignette, I don't remember breaking because I was so into this character. And when I did those vignettes, you got to keep in mind that I was a little virgin of the character. You know, I was starting. It was like I wasn't even on the road yet. It was vignettes before I appeared on the road. So I was very nervous doing those vignettes. So when you're nervous doing vignettes, you're serious. You know, you're uptight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you're in the character. You've been there and you're at ease and you're having fun with it. I wasn't having fun with it. I was creating it. So I was very nervous. So no, I think it came out really good. I was lucky that the vignette came out really good. But I don't remember doing the vignette and laughing about it right after, because I didn't realize the measure of how much this is going to be over or being talked about, you know, or being hated or laughed at, depending on which country you live in. But I love that being.
How to generate heat, and you can still do that now because you did it in Ohio, and that's what a lot of young talent aren't able to do now. As a heel, it's just 101. It comes natural to Jacques Rougeau.
You know, I had a guy ask me not long ago. He asked me, Jacques, he says, if you had any advice to give, you know, to the young today, to the talent today. And I tell him, I said, I go to wrestling schools around the world still. I'm invited to different places. And the first thing I tell him is less is more. Just do less, but do it better. And take the time. Get the interaction with the people. Get a response from the people. If you do something, make sure that it means something and you touch the people. Don't try to do 5-6 things to get their attention. Just do one, but one good one, you know, and then get the reaction. And then when you get the reaction, don't go to the next thing. play off the reaction. Like, you know, have an interaction with them. Make the story go on. And, you know, and the more you pick a fan and you make a story go on, the more the fans around them, they get into it because they see it's personal with, you know, and just it's different today. So I tell them less is more. Like, you know, instead of doing 10,000 moves in the ring, just do 10 moves in your match. But make them really good moves and let the guy sell your moves. Let the guy respond to your to what you did to him. Today, they're in a situation where the guy who receives a drop kick, who receives it, he's up on his feet before the guy who gave it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it makes no sense. If you get 2 feet in your face like the Rougeau drop kick or the Jim Brunzel drop kick, you know, the Killer Bees, you can't be up on your feet before the guy gave you that drop kick. You got to stay on your butt and you got to hold your face and you got to crawl, you got to scream, you got to put faces and you got to let the people enjoy it. Before, instead of getting up for 5-6 moves in a row, and that doesn't mean nothing.
Just using the brain, really, isn't it? But we go round and round about this, not selling. The talent don't sell it. And then, like you say, there's no there was always believability when you guys were doing it.
More emotions. More emotions, more interaction. I always say it like that. More interaction. You got to make the appeal. You can impress the people with a lot of moves. But it's more impressive to make them feel a move.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jock, just a little plug for Wrestling Academy, Loot Academy 2024, which is coming later on in the year. That'd be great before we go.
It's going to be the hottest fall ever in Quebec. And we're starting on the 28th of September. Go on the website, wrestling-academy.ca. Or please put the link on the bottom when you have a chance, lutteacademie.ca, and make sure you have those two links, because some countries one link works and the other country the other link works. So make sure you get those two links in there. Go check out the talent this year. It's absolutely amazing. And have fun going checking out the videos of the old timers like me, just and all my friends that are putting good words in there. You'll have a great time. It'll be like going to a movie for an hour and a half. And you can go onto the website and really reminisce and go back. It's going to be nostalgic for you. And I'm just can't wait for this competition. The big four prizes of $10,000, the trip to Big Lucha and Bandido Gym in Mexico for the winners, plus other things that are happening that I will come back in June and let you know. And when we talk again,
we'll get the scoop for that bit of information that you're keeping very tight-lipped about.
Absolutely.
I will be waiting imminently when you drop.
I don't like to pronounce myself when I don't have it in the bag, so I'm going to go ahead and wait till it's a sure thing.
I understand that from your point of view. Absolutely. My guest for episode 171 of Stu's Wrestling Podcast, returning for his fourth appearance, Jacques Rougeau, a.k.a. the Mountie, former WWE, WCW star. I hated you when I was a kid. I hated the Mountie. I tell you this every time. I hated you.
Yeah, well, that's because you were a Bret Hart's fan. That's
why. My God. Bret, nobody still can do what Bret was doing in there. What a technician.
No. But remember, I'm the one who took the belt from him, the Intercontinental title, because the Mountie always gets his man.
I hated that. Then Piper had to come and get it off you. Then Bret got it. Then Bret got it back. So it was always well in the Palmer household.
To all my good fans in the UK, thank you so much, and see you soon. Hopefully, I'll be at one of your Comic Cons in the UK soon.
Take care. Thanks, York.
Thank you, Stu.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.